So one of the questions, and I think it relates to many of the measures that you might want to talk about, the philosophy of this idea of a cross-section prevalence being a quality measure versus what the evidence is talking about is actually identifying individuals and treating individuals and seeing that. So, and I think that goes across several of these measures, if you could maybe talk a little bit about the general philosophy there.
Sure. Thank you, Karen. The measures that we're bringing forth for CMS are a set of measures to monitor quality of care in the nursing facilities for the beneficiaries, the residents that are being treated in the nursing facilities. And while the measures rest on the individual items, which are what can be tested in terms of reliability and validity, the MDS 3.0 items, we've not yet had the chance to test the new measures because the data collection just begins in October. So we are using the reliability and the validity that has been tested in past research, which is how you approach scientific acceptability. Have these items been used well? Does this make sense? Are they carrying through statistically? So the application of the items into a standardized measure for the annual assessment in monitoring the program and the quality of care in the individual facilities is built on the work that's been done at the item level.
So I guess one question that gets at some of these issues is if the patients, so only patients that have been at the facility longer than 100 days will be in the denominator. So it's really the presumption that the nursing facility has had time to identify and treat depression. So the prevalence of depression in your patients post 100 days indicates that the nursing home or nursing facility has not really been identifying and attending to. So is that kind of the basic assumption of why you can use this as a quality measure?
Yes, that's correct. This is a treatable issue.
Bill? Question. The discussion has been helpful. Is there, but particularly in light of the measure and the validity discussions and so forth, is there any additional significance? I'm always, two of them that I always gravitate to is one of them is 4D, susceptibility to inaccuracies, errors, and unintended consequences. And there's nothing there. No research could be identified. Can you comment on that in light of the discussion we've had thus far?
My understanding of the item is whether an item could be misinterpreted when being applied, when being used in the facility by the clinicians. And with the PHQ-9, this has been so heavily tested in so many communities, the language is quite clear. It was not applicable, or no, I guess would be a better answer.
I think actually ultimately this measure is a measure of the facility, not the individual, but it's an aggregate of individuals.
And correct.
What's presented here is high kappa, high reliability testing, high sensitivity and specificity at the individual level.
Yep.
Nothing's presented at the facility level because it hasn't been calculated. It's based off MDS 3.0.
Correct.
Is that a fair summary of that?
That is.
So that's why, Bill, your answer, that we don't know.
I think part of the thing that would be helpful in looking at potential adverse impact of this measure is to look at it over time with the use of psychotropic drugs, because one of the things that could happen is overuse in response to that. So that's one of the reasons for testing it as a measure rather than it's been totally validated as a screen for an individual patient. But
All right, so I'm going to call the question on the different components. So the importance of this measure, people feel it completely meets everything that passed. I'm going to say, to summarize the recommendation before the group we're voting on, that we vote that it, the completeness it passes, we're happy with the completeness of this. Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone in favor of that? Show of hands. We just need to see it. Anyone abstaining? Anyone against? Okay. On reliability and validity of the scientific evidence of this measure, what I would put forth to the group would be that it recommends passing with the caveat that Darlene has brought forward, that the definition of 100 days be modified to really be 100 days. There's no loophole in there. Mm-hmm. And so there's actual calculation back to the admission date. I think that that's probably what's before the group. Yes, Ron.
Ron Schumacher, just a question on that. Is there a potential loophole there if there are hospital admissions during the time the person is in the nursing facility? Does the clock start again on a new admission?
The way the MDS is filled out, and I'll defer someone, I haven't filled one out in a while, about 5 years, so I apologize, but it depends on how the admission occurs. If they're officially discharged from the hospital and going back over, they come back and they need a new MDS filled out. So the clock, it should change it, I believe. But I think the reviewer, Darlene, you, anyone closer to the MDS RTI, is that right? You need a microphone, sorry.
My best friend. Hi. Depending on the definition, like the patient going back into the hospital, it could be a significant change assessment by definition, or it actually could start the clock ticking again if they cycle back into the hospital. And there's also, I think, a time limit of 3 days as well in regards to a hospitalization and then the patient coming back. So that's why we tried as best with the discharge assessment, the addition, that we could really sort of try to try to segment out the short stay versus the long stay population. But it's true, you know, it's not 100% a perfect formula to be able to identify them, you know, completely fully in either bucket.
So I was just worried about unintended consequences, you know, resulting in increased hospitalization for depression so that the clock could start ticking again.
This is Darlene Thompson. With the definition for doing the MDS, if the resident is discharged even for an observational stay that's over 24 hours, then they have to be discharged. When they come back, you would enter the new date into A1600. So what you're discussing about a long-stay patient that took a short stay in the hospital now becoming a brand-new clock is correct. However, you could put a caveat in there by looking at if the prior assessment was a discharge with return anticipated, then the resident comes back, because you do have to answer a question if it was a reentry. So I think that if the individuals would go back and look at the exclusion for the denominator to cover those instances, I think that's going to take care of your issue.
Thank you.
Any other comments on reliability, validity? So what we have before us would be voting that it does meet reliability, validity, except for the small modification. So we're in that modification range of defining the 100 days more clearly. Any other? Yeah, Dee Dee.
I would just like to bring up for consideration that perhaps we would like to do a time-limited one on this and ask for a study of the validity of the measure.
Oh, we will be. As we go live in the October 2010 data collection, we'll be testing all of the measures.
Barbara, I don't know if you realize what you just said yes to. That means we're voting this is a time-limited measure.
No,
so you just agree with Aditi. So the measurer would like to do this as a time-limited measure and change their submission to a time-limited measure. Is that right, Barbara?
No. This is an improvement on the previously endorsed measure.
I agree that it's an improvement on the previously endorsed measure, which was very problematic. But
I am concerned about potential adverse impacts. And, I mean, is this really measuring quality? And there's a way that you could look at the medication that's going on. At the individual level, what's the change in the measure? I mean, use it as the clinical tool to validate that, yes, this is indeed reflecting quality of care in the facility. And I know you guys know how to validate this.
Are you suggesting a modification of the vote before the committee, or we vote?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm suggesting that we consider
time limited with the 100-day change.
Yeah.
I believe the staff had marked this as time limited endorsement only.
You did. Okay.
Oh. I thought I was being so radical.
You know, again, this is where NQF has not been real clear about accepting data reliability and validity versus measure score. And I think, you know, so we could go either way with this. So I think it's an issue of what the committee thinks are the dangers or potential dangers or need for more information as the implementation of MDS 3.0. So it certainly can fit in either category, and we need your guidance on that. I think there was also a need to put a clarification in the numerator so that it was clear how that was actually computed. The other thing I'll just mention about measures that are endorsed, whether it's time limited or full endorsement, that as it's implemented, if the community identified issues with it, that's something that could be brought back to NQF for ad hoc review. So there are other options, but certainly the time limited is, under these circumstances, is something for your consideration.
Comments from the committee members counter to the proposal on the table, or in the pit. It's the way we're organized here. Not counter arguments not to time limit it. Anyone make it? Okay. So what's before us is a time limited approval with the caveat to modify the 100-day definition more clearly. Any other comments before we vote? Everyone in favor of that? Anyone abstaining? Anyone opposed? Oh, for the record, I vote for the yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Biff?
Yes.
Bill Kubot here. Maybe this is just a general question, and I don't mean this as a distraction, so if it is, you just tell me. And I don't know if this is a question for the developer, for NQF, or if it's a question for CMS. But there are a number of measures where you could ask this question. How is it considered whether or not the measure is appropriately worded as is or worded in the positive? You could take this measure and say it's free, you know, percent of persons free of. And the reason that I ask that question, and it's a harmonization question, is that you see that kind of language throughout much of hospital compare and so forth. And so how does that relate to what we're about here? This measure, and again, you could relate it to any number of others.
Sorry, would you like to answer? The CMS measures in general have that approach. That's why you're seeing it in all of the compare. CMS is moving towards a positive interpretation of whatever is being examined. So these are all consistent with that approach also.
So that means that CMS would then, as they are using these endorsed measures for purposes of nursing home compare or what have you, they have the latitude, or the
the sense that they will invert them and do them in the positive? I mean, what does that mean?
No, the measure we have before us is the percentage with the diagnosis. If the diagnosis is viewed as a negative, then it's worded in the negative. It's a quote negative measure. If having the diagnosis is a positive thing, then it's worded in a positive thing. But it's worded in the percent with this activity. You know, NQF has endorsed different types of measures. I mean, a lot of the medical error measures are all in the sort of negative, if you use that term, versus the free from. And so we flip back and forth. Many of the original measures were measures in the process measures, which tended to be processes that were supposed to be done. And so they were viewed as in the positive. As we move more to outcome measures, the outcome measures are more of the disease of interest, and so one could argue that they may be viewed in the negative, but next door they're doing a lot of outcome stuff, mm-hmm. and the outcomes are not free from disease. They're the outcome they often have interest, so it's an interesting issue. As far as what you would do with reporting it, I mean, the validity in the reporting and the structure of this is as is, which is percent with the disease or with the measure of interest. Here, the goal would be to have very few people depressed, and therefore you would argue that's framed in a negative.
And but with the
to flip it
facing.
Around and do the reciprocal, yeah. You know, I guess anyone could do anything with any measure. It's not just CMS. Anyone could do that. So, but it's really tested and structured in the way it's presented to us. And we're voting out the way it's presented to us.
Okay. Well, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I do think it's an important one. So, as I understand it, then, if CMS does invert it or use the reciprocal, then that is not an NQF endorsed measure.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to comment, Judy Tobin from CMS, that the Compare site is a public-facing site meant to word the measures in such a way that the general public can understand and interpret them. So some of the wording is changed for that general public digestion of the measure.
I have a question. This is Dee Dee Orton. I have a question for NQF. What is I know you said it, but what does time limited mean? Because there's no way that this can be tested until 3.0 has been used for probably a year.
And when is 3.0 being implemented?
October.
It's being implemented in October, and we have plans to begin testing in the January period after a quarter of data have come in and people have experience.
Right. I mean, our current policy is mm-hmm. testing within 12 months.
Mm-hmm. And that's not possible here.
The final endorsement won't be till December, though. So, mm-hmm. right. So that would be 12 months from December when the board endorses.
That's sufficient.
Yeah, we're at the beginning.
Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot all those days.
These measures haven't graduated yet.
Okay.
Next one would be on usability. What I heard from the group was that the usability was probably...
We voted already, didn't we?
We voted on importance and reliability and validity.
We were all four on this one, right?
Don't we? I'm just following the rules. I just do what people tell me to do.
I thought you skipped to the
committee. Oh, yeah. No. Because the time limited and that was all related to the reliability and scientific aspect of it, right?
Everybody thought we were voting on
that. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm very good at misleading people. That's what I do for a living these days. So, I'm assuming then I will lump usability and feasibility together. I'm assuming everyone felt that was reasonable to move forward on. Any caveats to that? All in favor? Okay. Any abstaining? Okay. Any opposed? Then I'd take the whole measure as a whole set. Now the whole set is, which is to approve it time limited with 100-day out there. Any abstaining? Any opposed? All in favor? Make sure you guys are listening. Change the order. Okay. Christine.
Okay.
All right, our next set of measures are staffing measures in the nursing home, and our steward is the American Nurses Association. I'm the primary reviewer on one, and Betty is the secondary on that same one, and then she's the primary reviewer on the first. Rita, I don't know if you're...
11:45 is the break, Dee Dee. 11:45, right there on paper. We're doing what everyone says. We're not varying. We're going right through on this.
Yeah. Although I wish otherwise. I'm sorry. I have too many papers, so what do you mean by number six?
This is Nursing Home 00610. Yeah.
006, and both of these measures are quite related, and the documentation was the same for both measures, so I don't know how you're planning to approach that.
Well, I think that at the pleasure of the group, it might be best to entertain them together. Karen, is that?
Yeah, I would have your comments about both of them, right, and then they can discuss them individually, but if it's similar, yeah, I think it'd be easier for you to just talk about both of them.
Okay. I'm Rita Munley Gallagher. I'm a senior policy fellow with the National Center for Nursing Quality at the American Nurses Association. And I am here to follow on to the comments earlier made by Helen Burstyn regarding ANA's willingness to work to expand the 0204 and 0205, which are currently endorsed NQF measures, to reflect appropriately the nursing home setting. As you heard earlier, the Mental Health Steering Committee in its deliberations in the recent past 2 weeks, I guess it was, requested that that activity take place, and how that will be operationalized is that a work group will be impaneled and members of the steering committee will be invited to participate in the definitions that need to be included in the expanded measure. And that would be the same suggestion for this group. NDNQI's principal investigator, Dr. Nancy Dunton, is on the telephone, and she would be pleased to speak to you about any of the technical aspects of the measures. I am here merely to express the measure developers' willingness to expand the measures and move forward with them for additional settings. So, Nancy, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Rita. Good morning, everyone. I think it is appropriate to review both of these measures together, total nursing hours per resident day and skill mix. They are structural measures that have been shown in the research literature to be significantly related to improved functionality of short-stay residents and decreased probability of death, improved resident functionality, and fewer medical errors and survey deficiencies, and reduced adverse outcomes and costs. So the specifications of the measures are as they were for the hospital setting, in that the total nursing hours per patient day is, or per resident day in this instance, is defined to include hours provided by all categories of nursing licensure status, and resident days in this instance would be the patient census. The reliability and validity of these measures have not been studied by us in the nursing home setting, although we have conducted criterion validity studies of both measures in the hospital setting and found them to have very high ICCs in the range of 0.95. The measures, there's sort of limited evidence of usability in that these concepts are represented on Nursing Home Compare, although the measures that are proposed here differ from in source from the measures reported there, which come from the annual or semi, the 9 months to 15 months annual surveys of nursing homes, as opposed to from payroll records and patient censuses. The data collection is feasible since, of course, there are payroll data and patient census data in nursing homes, generally in electronic format, although certainly not from a medical record or from the MDS. And so we are asking for time-limited endorsement of these measures because we know that the reliability and validity testing need to be conducted in long-term care settings. NDNQI has the ability to do that because there are skilled nursing facility rehab units and nursing homes affiliated with member hospitals who will be willing to serve as a test bed for the demonstration of feasibility of data collection and the reliability and validity testing.
Okay. I'm the primary reviewer on this one, and we're going to be, first of all, talking about the skill mix by RN, LPN, and nursing assistant. The way that measure works is it's the proportion of the nursing direct care nursing staff that are providing 50% or more direct care that are RNs, and the proportion that are LPNs, and the proportion that are nursing assistants. And then there's also a measure, a complementary measure about those that are on contract or agency type staff. My assessment is that this is really important, an important measure, and we can go back to 1970-something when there were hearings on the Hill about staffing and quality in nursing homes. So when we think about the fact that this was in 1970 and we're in 2010 and we're still wondering about, you know, is staffing and quality in nursing homes related, it does puzzle me a bit. But regardless, there has been a great body of literature on nurse staffing and quality in nursing homes, and that was not probably as well represented in the presentation of this measure as I know that of the body of literature that is out there. So it was a little struggle for me to check, yes, this is important, because the evidence to support the importance wasn't as strong in the measure that was presented. So I would just hope that you, I expect a number of you are quite familiar with that literature and know that we have a good growing body of evidence, particularly RN staffing and nursing homes is probably the strongest. We tend to see in many of the studies that there's this inverse relationship between staffing and quality when it comes to practical nurses, and CNAs, the evidence is somewhat uneven. So I would support it as being important. In terms of the rest of the criteria that we need to look at, as was mentioned by the developer, there has been no reliability and validity testing about the measure in nursing homes, or very limited reliability and validity testing. There was a study, and I hope that our CMS colleagues might end up commenting on this, with a contract with the Colorado Medical Foundation where they were testing different measures of nurse staffing in nursing homes and have a report out that came out in 2008. and that was not referred to in this in the measure that was presented. There are some recommendations from that body of research about what might be reliable and valid measures. The usability and feasibility is what's being proposed is that it's payroll data. And I, in the study that CMS contracted the Colorado Medical Foundation, they found that it was very uneven about whether nursing homes could indeed systematically and consistently have valid payroll data. So the feasibility is questionable, and I don't know, being a time-limited measure, how we're going to go about ensuring that we get good payroll data from nursing home staff. Having said that, I also know that in the newly passed Health Reform Act, there's some legislation language in there about testing these measures and, you know, getting nursing homes to submit reliable data for staffing. So it's about the timing of all of this and when indeed it would be, we would have data that could be actually collected and then tested for reliability and validity. So it just kills me having done most of my research in nurse staffing and quality in nursing homes, to say at the end, I don't know if even in a time-limited way this measure is ready for testing, but I would be anxious to hear the responses from the rest of the committee. Some comments from CMS and ANA, of course, would be very helpful. But before we do that, I'd like to defer to the second reviewer, Betty.
Likewise, I felt that it was a very important measure. However, the other three criteria, I felt the information that was provided were lacking. I couldn't understand how to translate what was presented as having been usable in a hospital setting was going to translate to long-term care as it currently is functioning in capturing this information that's provided in the OSCAR reports. And therefore, it's hard for me to say, when I think it's so important, that I think that it's the idea is probably ahead of the usability and feasibility that was presented.
Bill?
Yeah, Bill Kubat. I echo both of those comments. I'm going to remember from the first steering committee meeting and thinking about the importance of domains. Staffing was one. But the issue then is the same issue now. How do you consistently and reliably gather the data? It doesn't exist. Now, some other things I think that have that were named then but are even more significant, I think, now is that the issue of how you, I don't know if it's necessarily a risk adjustment, but how do you account for acuity and differences in acuity in relation to staffing. And then secondly, in terms of some of the definitions, now with more of an advent with culture change and so forth, appropriately accounting for versatile workers and so forth. It's a more complex environment now than it was then, but it's still a very important issue.
Thank you. Okay, I see Mary Jane, and then I see someone from CMS, and Lisa. Did you have your hand up first, Lisa?
I'll cede it to Mary Jane.
This is very quick. I think that Bill raises a very interesting and important point, which is that with some of the innovation that's going on in nursing homes, we want to be careful that we don't choose a measure that straitjackets us and doesn't prevent or prevents really some innovations and trying new models and doing things like that. So while I echo the importance of licensed and, other staff in nursing homes, I just want to be careful it's not an unintended consequence.
If I could also add, I think there's an issue of harmonization as well. There is going to be a new CMS quality measure with regard to staffing. It's required by the new law. And so there is going to be data collected electronically from payroll and also from cost reports and other auditable sources. And so that data is going to be a lot of data. And actually, Janet Wells is here with NICTR, who's been heavily involved in this. If you wanted to explain a little bit about what exactly is going to be in, the information is going to be gathered, I think it would be helpful.
So it looks like CMS is deferring to NICTR right now, huh?
All right. I want to make a comment about what CMS is doing.
Yeah, maybe I don't need to say anything since Jean is here, but in 2001, CMS issued this phase two of a monumental report on appropriateness of nurse staffing ratios in nursing homes. As a continuation of that contract, since 2001, CMS has been developing quality measures and a data collection system for on nurse staffing. It hasn't been implemented because the CMS had not moved forward with regulations to collect the data electronically from payroll. That will happen now under the health care reform law. I just want to say, from a consumer perspective, we think it is extraordinarily important to have quality measures for nurse staffing. The healthcare reform law requires measures based on hours per resident day, turnover, and retention rates, which we think are very important. It also authorizes collection of other types of staffing data as well. So we hope that there will be quality measures. In 2004, NQF recommended that there be a staffing measure when data was available. We hope we're not waiting another 6 years before there are recognized quality measures for nurse staffing, but we do think it's very important to recognize the work that's already been done at the University of Colorado.
Go ahead. I can't see your name.
Oh, I'm Bruce Boissonall. I'm the secondary reviewer with Betty on the next measure, but I would echo what the committee is seems to be opining. There's another harmonization issue for me, which is this measure implies that more is always better, that there's not diminishing marginal returns when you reach a certain point. And with what I hope CMS is eventually going to do, we can use the same data that gathers the hours to tie back to the productivity piece. Because just measuring hours without also looking at productivity in the same database, I think, is a tragic mistake. So, and the other point that I wanted to make is the way the denominator, it's a sort of a detailed thing, but the way the denominator is defined, to me, straitjackets us from the perspective, I think basketball, sort of man-on-man coverage versus zone coverage. We don't know which one's going to work, but a lot of the zone coverage players are excluded in counting hours, and I think that's potentially problematic. Nonetheless, I think the importance of knowing staffing can't be overstated.
Jean?
Yeah, I'm Jean Scott from CMS, and I guess I'd like to make several comments. First of all, having to do with the healthcare reform and what we're actually required to do and what we're actually doing at CMS vis-a-vis the collection of staffing data. The health reform bill actually requires us to collect not only nursing care, nurse staffing data, but also therapist data and other medical personnel data. So that is what we will be collecting. The work has begun with this. We've had an IT contractor for about a year building the requirements for the system to collect these data. Now, obviously, when you put a new data collection in under the CMS data collection system, the amount of bureaucracy is incredible with it, because you have to make sure you don't crash everything else, because it'll be under the big computer system. So it's taking some time, but we will have this up and going as required within 2 years of an enactment of the health reform law. So we do expect that to happen, and it is moving forward. I wanted to say a word, too, about what's been done and what hasn't been done with the validity testing, and a word about the feasibility testing of collecting the data. I also was the government task leader for the study that's been being talked about with the Colorado Foundation for Medical Care. And that study did, in fact, develop a database of more than 1,400 nursing homes for which we had a year's worth of payroll data. But we had purely a payroll data dump. So it was a different thing than asking the facilities to give us the data themselves and to do an extract of the data. With the data from the data dump, so to speak, there actually was a measures development effort, and those were tested against some of the quality measures and also against things like for short stay measure, for the short stay population, for discharge back to community, for rehospitalization for the long stay population. And so there has been some measure development. It is not this measure that was tested, though. It was measures that were developed under that contract, which get to some of the same things. We have not done any testing of measures that include physical therapists or other medical personnel. We have, however, done some work beyond that that study to look very carefully at what could and couldn't be done with an invoice-based system to bring in contract staff, which also is an important piece to this, particularly with the therapy staff. And we are looking at that. And we've also had some conversations with Dr. Katz from AMDA, who's helping us think through other medical personnel, because that does include physicians. We're going to be looking at physician extenders. We want to look at advanced practice nurses as a separate group. And one word about the feasibility study that was done, because we think that that sort of misrepresents how feasible this really is to do. The feasibility study that was done was a targeted feasibility study. We only included 9 facilities in that, and it was a targeted study in that we were trying to identify what the problems would be. I mean, if you look very carefully at that study, and it is on the CMS website still, if you look very carefully, we went to facilities on things like Indian reservations to really try to pick up the mom and pops who would be difficult. We know this is quite feasible with payroll vendors, and it's feasible for facilities that have a good IT department. It is going to be more difficult, and we're taking that into account in designing the new system. So,
I just want to make one comment to the committee, is that in terms of your decisions, it should be about the measure as presented, not about what may happen in the next 3 years. And you have the option of approving this measure based on the criteria or not. And in the future, if a new and better measure is available, they have the opportunity of submitting that, and NQF is interested in the best in class. So I just want to lay that out in terms of, you know, you should make your decision on this measure based on how well it meets the criteria. And in the future, if better measures are available and are brought to NQF, those certainly, you know, we welcome that.
Bruce? The best we could do, though, is a 12-month limited endorsement based on the application itself, correct?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's we're already
right.
at a
right.
certain threshold.
Right.
This is Darlene Thompson. I was just going to indicate that the fact that even though payroll data is electronic, it would not be – most payroll data does not – break out productive from non-productive. They're either by job title, which could be held by a licensed personnel or non-licensed personnel, or they'll be by the criteria or their credentials, which then wouldn't indicate whether they're in a productive or non-productive state. So the feasibility of being able to gather this data, even though we have electronic payroll data, doesn't make it, there's no way that would be able to occur.
I was just going to say, if CMS writes rules that says submit the data this way, then I think the payroll systems will very quickly respond.
I agree, but it will take work on the payroll systems because not everybody uses the same one. So there'll be that outlay to the centers plus some time for to wiggle out the issues that are going to come up with that. So might as well allow that to happen before we even look at being able to pull productive time.
I'd like to recognize
Can you help me? I'm confused by the measure. When I go back and look at the numerator, it's excludes all non-clinical people, and the numerator says it has to have greater than 50% of their shift in productive time to be included in the numerator, and then it reports the number of hours. And the denominator is all RNs, LPNs, and UAPs. So this is what is I'm not sure what is this measure? It's the percentage of total hours of individuals who spend more than 50% of their productive time providing direct patient care. So
and certain matrixed functions I think are excluded that might actually in some settings be care. So there's a if you move to a matrixed organization,
yeah,
you could be penalized by this measure the way I read it.
Well, but before we get there, I'm just trying to understand the measure itself. Why isn't it close to 100%? And when you start excluding everyone out, or is the key here productive hours, and they don't define productive hours.
The key is the denominator, which is patient days. So, in other words, are you flying the airplane with only one pilot, or do you have three?
The denominator is hours.
Multiple numerators.
The denominator is not days, it's hours.
Right.
But it's patients. So it's how many?
No, it's LPN. That's why I'm confused.
Okay. I'm on 7.
I'm looking at this measure here. The denominator is LPN, RN, UAP hours.
Right.
And the numerator is hours. And so the denominator is all hours of this group that does something divided into the productive hours. There, I can't figure out.
Okay,
what it comes.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a try. So first of all, you get in the numerator if you're 50% or more providing direct care.
Just and is it 0-1 or is it hours?
0-1.
Yeah.
You either are more than 50%.
Or you're not. Right.
Can I ask a favor? Could you start with the denominator?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The denominator would be anybody who's 50% or more, and all the hours of those people. So,
but that's not what they say in there. Can you put up 2A.8?
006.
Am I on the wrong measure? I'm in 006. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at 006.
Yeah.
The denominator says data elements, LPN, LVN, hours, 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 hours. It seems to be hours.
006 is hours. So it would be so let's say you have 10 people in the nursing home that are 50% or more providing direct care. It would be the combination of all their hours would be the denominator. And then the numerator would be, there's a variety of formulas you'll get. You get one formula of the percent of RNs, or the number of RN hours, divided by the denominator. And that'll give you the proportion of RN hours that this facility provides.
Yeah, but it's I'm still confused. So it's, if you take all RNs who are doing direct patient care, they have to do more than this denominator doesn't say the 50% cutoff.
Right.
Oh. This is just all RNs everywhere, right?
Okay.
This is Nancy Dutton. Can I?
Could we have the ANA person say something?
This measure, as it is currently endorsed for hospital settings, includes in the numerator all hours provided by, let's say, RNs who spend at least 50% of their time in direct patient care. And in the denominator are RN the same kind of hours for staff who spend at least 50% of their time in direct patient care of RNs, LPNs, or LVNs, or nursing assistants.
Yeah, that's what I tried.
So it is a proportion.
But that's, I'm just going, that's not what's before us. At least what I'm verbally hearing is, am I reading it wrong?
Yes, I think you might be reading it wrong because...
Well, can you look at 2A.8?
Right, but if you look at Levine... So what they're saying is in 2A.4, it's the total number of productive hours, and 2A.8 is just saying which categories of personnel.
2A.4, where, let me find.
Right there at the top.
Yeah.
Total number of productive hours worked by all of those staff.
Yeah.
And then the numerator is not adding those up, because you're right, they will add up to 100%. The numerator is looking at the skill mix. So what percent of those total hours are RN hours? What percent of those total hours are LPN hours, et cetera? So it's designed to be the numerator categories are designed to be computed separately. But if you would add them up, you would get 100%.
Yeah. So you get three QIs.
Let me ask.
It's the proportion.
It's the weighting of RNs versus right. LPNs.
So that,
versus
it'll add up to 100%.
Right.
Okay.
I got you.
So
okay.
Which is why we were both getting to 100%.
Right.
I got you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to look at the mix of the personnel providing care.
Mm-hmm.
But still the question of what's good.
The commas don't mean pluses. They mean one each.
Right.
Yes.
And that should be clarified. Right.
Okay. This is Maggie Gill. I just wanted to mention that, obviously, you know, with this formula, the concern, given the current state of short-term rehab and our nursing homes, the fluctuation in staffing based on census, and making certain that, obviously, the public reporting piece of this would be quite skewed for any consumer to understand, as well as I know that the nursing homes are all, you know, really getting good at reporting better on the annual survey, the staffing, because of the five-star rating. But that's just coming about as five-star has come about. So to see the accuracy come with this kind of system really scares me.
Yeah, Arvind Madawal, I just have a comment related to that. You know, why this 50% came up, you know, because as you're saying, in a lot of staffing are working less than 50%, so there should be simplistic way would be look at all hours, you know, for individual categories, and then hours worked in the clinical setting, you know.
Yeah, I think if I'm hearing you correctly, what the 50% means is you have somebody who works full-time, but they spend 50% or more of their time in direct care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What I'm saying is there are a lot of part-time employees who are working less than 50%, yet contributing to the mission of care in a nursing home. So the RN may be there, you know, one day a week or half day a week or something like that. So that is also an RN level or LPN level should also be accounted for, because they may not find RNs or LPNs, you know, who are able to give that degree of time, because they are agency nurses, they are nurses coming in just interested in part-time work.
Well, I think it would account for those.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you're there for that day and you're spending 50% or more of your time in direct care, it counts.
Okay.
It's not an FTE.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps if we were to conceptualize the 50% as meaning you were actually providing care as opposed to you were the director of nursing.
Yeah, I think they need some clarification.
So it's a categorization of the person, mm-hmm. not how much time they spend altogether
right.
in the activity, but rather that they're providing care as opposed to supervising others.
Nice.
That's the aegis of the issue.
So if you're looking at the ratio, essentially it's the ratio of RN, LPN, and UAP of the total direct care hours. Why they don't risk adjust it? Why wouldn't you want to risk adjust this? Yeah, at least or stratify by patient acuity, because we know that the nursing homes. I mean, we've seen by the long term stay, short term stay, and the number that get kicked out and everything else. You'd probably want to risk adjust this, I'd think.
This is Nancy Benton again. The intention, which I believe is in the documentation someplace, is that it would be risk stratified by. Type of care, unit type. Because
I'm just looking at 2E, which says risk adjustment for outcomes. It says not available, not available, not available.
And it says under 2A, 1213, no risk adjustment necessary.
What about stratification?
Stratification is risk adjustment.
The intention is stratification by unit type, which is how it is currently operationalized in the hospital. As I indicated earlier, what we will be doing as we add the behavioral health aspects, we'll be working with an expert panel to define what exactly their units would be, and we would expect that the nursing home community would provide input into what their units would be also.
Okay, I'd like to see where we are right now, a straw vote. All of those that would be ready to vote on this measure, could you raise your hand?
Ready to vote or ready to vote yes or no?
Ready to vote. Okay. All right, looks like we have the majority that are ready to vote. So the recommendation is that this measure, the first one, not be accepted. As I have to go back to my notes here, that's the recommendation. A 006. Yeah. Mm-hmm. sorry. We'll go through the criteria. So we're the idea, the first is that it's important, and the assessment is that this is a very important measure. The testing of the measure is that there's no evidence of that, and though we do have to keep in mind this was intended to be a time-limited measure. The third is usability and feasibility, and that was also assessed not to be adequate. And so the conclusion is that, therefore, this is cannot be an endorsed measure. Any comments before we would go to a vote in regards to what I just said?
Oh, to vote it down. Okay. And that's fine.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yep.
I just want to clarify.
Well, she just whispered in my ear, do we want, this is time limited, and so I forgot that.
So the vote could be the time limited endorsement, yes or no. So it really would only be eligible for time limited endorsement. So if you vote yes, it would be endorsed
for
time
limited
status. Yeah. If you vote no, it's just not going to be recommended at all. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And time limited, this is on the memo that all of you got and I didn't, so I'm catching up today. There's three strategies we can use. One is time limited for measures that satisfy most of the evaluation criteria, the other is recommended for time limit endorsement with conditions, or do not recommend for time limited. My concern with time limited is I don't know if we're going to be able to pull. They can be pulled off in a year. So that's where my hesitancy is. Any comments on that?
Madam Chairwoman, I think time limited implies that we're all very comfortable with the measure and are just waiting for the evidence to support what is common sense. And so when we call the vote, that would be my read of the situation if we vote yes for time limited.
Okay. So we need not worry about the 12-month thing?
First of all, the change from 24 months to 12 months is rolling in. That's what's going on now. The consensus development process has moved to 12 months in consideration of time limited. I think that, first of all, it's not likely that this measure would even be endorsed until the end of the year. Is that correct, Karen?
December.
So it's really a longer time frame. Obviously, we would begin work earlier rather than later. So I guess we're talking closer to 18, 19 months if we, you know, were to begin in the near future.
But I think to Bruce's point, you're right. The time limited is that we think it's a good measure. We think it just needs a few little things sort of worked out. It's not at the level where we, on the previous one, where we could say, okay, Darlene said, just change the 100-day thing, and we think it's fine to go forward. I mean, we ended up modifying it for another reason, but I think we felt much more comfortable as a group. Time limit is more of that category, and so if there needs to be substantial work in it, if we really, really like it and think it's important and there's promise and it can be done in a short time frame, yeah, we should move forward on it. But if it's not, then it should get voted down. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be continued work. It's not important, and we should go forward on it. I go back to the point is we're not measure developers around the table as much as we'd like to. And
if I could just make the point about harmonization, this is certainly a very important issue. There's no doubt federal law is going to mandate that this data be collected in the way that federal law mandates it. CMS is doing it right now. I worry, and this is not to take away the effort that was put into this, I just worry that it would generate more confusion with the public to have, dueling measures. And I think that's a significant concern.
So we're calling the vote on recommendation for a time-limited measure, a time-limited endorsement.
I'm sorry, Madam Chairman, did you give your recommendation as the reviewer referencing the time limited, because I don't know that I heard it if you did.
Yeah, my recommendation was based on needing to know a little bit more from CMS, because I needed to hear what they had to say before I could, you know, to know what box to check, actually. And, you know, and the conversation here, I think, was somewhat helpful, too. So,
So she's not saying that's just what you're voting on. She's not saying that's what she's recommending.
Right.
You're recommending what? Yes or no?
That's what I was just trying to figure out exactly right. what your recommendation
yeah.
is.
So, boy. Well, I guess I would say that it would perhaps be worth our while to recommend it for time limit endorsement. So that's where I'll stand.
Yeah, Betty?
My recommendation would be not to move it forward as it was presented. It's not that it's not important, but there's too many gaps in what was presented.
So the vote before us is to endorse it with a time limited without any conditions, but to hear back more data in the future. So I guess anyone abstaining? All in favor of it?
All in favor of
time-limited endorsement. That's what's before us. All opposed?
Okay. I will abstain.
Christine abstains. I'm looking at the time, we're behind a little bit. Would like to take a comment from any of the members of the audience or on the phone. Then we'll take a quick break to grab lunch, come back in, we'll resume. So we're behind a little schedule, but I think as we get the gist of how to move through this, we'll pick up speed as we go forward and feel more comfortable with the process.
If I just have a quick clarification question, and I don't mean to slow everybody down. Was that vote on 06 and 07 because they were
just 06? Just 06. We're going to come back to 07 and talk about 07. Sandy? While Sandy walks up to the microphone, anyone on the phone would like to make comments? Okay.
I have a few comments. And first of all, I'd like to thank Bill Kubat. But HCA has been greatly involved in trying to get as many measures stated in the positive. Since we had the first measures in 2004, we have been working on this, and CMS did assure me that we were going to get as many as possible stated in the positive. So I'd like you all to keep that in mind, because I'm not seeing a lot of that. My second issue, with the specificity of some of the measures, like the percent of residents who have symptoms of major depression, long stay, the denominator size in many facilities can be quite small. We have some facilities who are currently at 80% short stay, some of them close to 100% short stay. And when you look at the trending of care and long-term care facilities, we're seeing more and more of this. Given this, currently on MDS-2 measures, if the denominator is too small, we just don't see the measure. Is that still going to be the same for the MDS-3 generated measures?
Hi, Roberta Constantine again from RTI. Yes, for public reporting purposes, if for the short stay measures, if a facility has less than 20 residents, it is not publicly reported, and 30 for long stay residents. Given, you know, the issues with HIPAA and also looking in regards to the validity of the measure statistically with small numbers.
I'd just like to respond. My concern is, and Dr. Gifford, you made this You said this early on when we started, that we have to look at the measures and where the measures are being used. Are all the potential areas where they're going to be used? And it's very difficult then when you're looking at five-star and assessing quality or in a value-based purchasing program, how can you assess then quality if not all the measures can be reported by the facilities being evaluated? So it makes it difficult. Barbara says it can still be monitored. You just don't want to publicly report. But the reason why we don't publicly report is because there's an issue with validity. Am I correct?
When
privacy, just privacy.
That is, you get down toward a small sample, and when you have so many characteristics identified on a patient, it becomes more and more possible to identify who you're reporting on, and so it becomes, in part, a privacy issue as well.
Okay, so the sample size, then, is not the issue here.
Yes.
Any other comments from the audience before we break for lunch? You want to stand between the committee voting on your measures and lunch? Make a comment? If not, okay, well, yeah.
I just have one quick question. Approximately what percentage of nursing homes are that small?
What do you mean small?
Well, that with 20 and 30, respectively, number of patients, how many nursing homes would be excluded?
Somebody here from CMS may know the numbers, but currently under MDS-2, there's quite a few homes that don't produce all the measures right now. And I'm just looking at some of the measures that we have as we see the transition to more and more post-acute care and seeing that become more problematic. I don't have the number. Does any?
Yeah, a lot of the sample size is by all the exclusions that get you down to that problem. Actually, in Rhode Island, we have 92 licensed nursing homes, and I think there's less than 10 that are under 40 total bed size, because actually, financially, you can't make it when you're under 40 beds. It's almost it's almost mathematically impossible at the current reimbursement rates for Medicaid, Medicare, everything.
And the number 30 for a long stay, I've got a 150-bed facility that 90% of the residents are short stay. And so, therefore, they never get enough measures to hit the long stay because they don't have 30 residents consistently that are in the facility for more than 100 days. So it's not necessarily the size of the building. It's the length of stay of the residents in the building.
What I'd like to do is lunch is ready outside, right? Lunch is ready outside. We're going to do a working lunch. Collect your lunch. Go to the bathroom, check your BlackBerry, check your emails, come back. We'll do 10 minutes of sort of eating. At 12:15, we'll start back up with working lunch in here. So, okay? Okay. Working lunch means working lunch. We still have one of the staffing measures before us. It's number 10, the nursing home hours per patient day, number 7. Betty, you're the primary reviewer?
Yes. This one is very, it's a companion piece to the one we looked at on the skills level. And the title is Nursing Care Hours Per Patient Day. The difference that's presented in this one, rather than in the skill set, was the numerator and the denominator are different. The numerator for this measure, total number of productive hours worked by nursing staff with direct care responsibilities, and the denominator is patient days during the calendar month. Other than those two differences, the measure has the same items presented, and in my review of it, I felt that it contained the same issues that we dealt with in reviewing number 6, and although it's a very important measure, I did not feel as it was presented that it met the other criteria.
And I would just add, this is time limited also.
Yes, it is. And my secondary is Bruce.
Very briefly, meets the importance criterion, hands down. Scientific acceptability was a sort of a maybe with caveats. It excludes certain teams, the issue we already discussed about man-to-man coverage versus zone coverage. The implication of a linear relationship between staffing. And as far as, let me see, usability, I had yes with some buts. The measure does, in the end, though, it would measure what it says it will measure. My other concern was the sort of lack of evidence that it would move the bar on all of the things that it said it would move the bar on. In other words, there was an explicit statement in the application that it would improve quality, undefined, coordination of care, and safety. And I did see what I thought was enough evidence on the safety indicator, but the others weren't in the app. So my recommendation was because the evidence, because it's a time-limited application, was a no, notwithstanding that I think the importance of the measure is unquestioned.
And further comments from the committee?
I didn't read these particular reviews, but there's one thing I was thinking that I heard in the discussion before, which is the idea of parsing out what nurses and nursing homes do as productive versus unproductive time. And I think maybe that comes from a hospital model. But, you know, I think that we really have to examine what the role of an RN, for example, is in a nursing home, and to argue that maybe some of the most productive time they have is when they are supervising and serving as team leaders to the care team. And so I think we should be really careful utilizing terms like productive and unproductive. So, you know, their job is to do assessments. Their job is to lead a team. Their job is to be resource-bearing leaders. So I think we need to really be careful about the terminology and not just sort of bring it wholesale out of an acute system.
That's a good point, or even to come up to have a definition of what productive means. Any other comments? Okay. So we
actually were admonished at lunch for not following the rules. We actually need to go back and make sure we do this, is not only vote on each of the four categories, importance, scientific, usability, and feasibility, but make sure we are voting on whether we think it's, I can't even hear it, complete, partial.
Minimal. And not.
Minimal and needs lots of work. And for the measure developers in the room, having been a previous measure developer, I understand the amount of time and energy and resources it takes to develop a measure and validate a measure and to fill out these forms. And that said, I know there's no perfect measure, and so there's going to be a lot of criticisms and comments, but I think the responsibility of the group here is to go through a process. I'm not going to turn it off, but I think a well-thought-out process by NQF to endorse a measure that has some meaning behind NQF measure. And that doesn't mean that I think the work that you all haven't done has not been recognized and everything else, but I'm going to push, and if you can't tell, some very frank and quick discussions about it, and partly because I'm not in Rhode Island, so I don't have to worry about being politic anymore. Just to, you know, say it is what it is on some of the measures so we can go through and get everything, but it doesn't mean that the measures that you haven't done that aren't incredibly important. I think all of us, as I said, think almost all the measures before us, we can almost all vote right now. God, what's the term we use? We can sort of bundle them all together and just all vote that they're all important.
and most of them meet the importance metric. They wouldn't have, you wouldn't have invested the time, you wouldn't have had the funding to get to that time. They wouldn't even be before us if they didn't even pass that measure. It really is getting into the scientific, the usability and feasibility, and that's going to be really hard as we go forward on that. So just understanding that just because a measure gets voted down, it doesn't mean that it's not important, it shouldn't be worked on, and shouldn't come back to the group for future stuff, because I think we want to see those type of things. All right, that said,
So we do a vote for each, we ask for a show of hands for complete. Is that how we would do that, Suzanne? Okay. So for the importance to measure and report for 007, we have a show of hands for...
You should get the sponsor and what they would recommend.
I think they already did.
For each one and complete.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're redoing our thing here. So we would like the reviewers, the two reviewers, to go through each and give your rating for each of the four criteria.
For this is Betty Franzen again. For importance, I scored it partial. For scientific acceptability, the reliability, validity, I put minimal. For usability, partial. And for feasibility, as it is written, minimal.
All right. there's a couple of sub-measures that actually have that. I'm confused because on the form it says, was the threshold importance met? That's a yes, no.
Importance is a yes, no.
Okay, so, it's a yes. And then, forgive me, my copious notes here. To be or not to be.
So while Bruce looks up, can I put a motion on the table that for all the measures we vote that they all were important for a yes? Does anyone from any of the primary reviews like to argue that their measures were not addressing an important topic and had good enough material presented to meet the importance criteria? So if we bundle that, that'll move us along. Then we only have to vote on the three things each time. Okay? All in favor of all the measures being important?
Aye.
Okay, good. Well, I am abstaining. I've always wanted to do that. I sit before committees every night, the legislature, and they always bundle everything together. I've always wanted to do that, so thank you. A happy man.
The scientific acceptability, I said partial. The usability, I actually thought it would be usable. So a C. And feasibility, I think it's certainly feasible.
So that would be a complete, partial, minimal?
No, a C. I
complete. Okay.
Yeah, a C. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll vote on scientific acceptability. And all those that would be in favor of being complete, raise your hand. Partial, raise your hand. No.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, she says.
Okay. I'm not comfortable with that when I haven't had a chance to actually review the measures to go ahead and vote on each one. I've not looked at the citations. I've not looked at any of the information except what 5 minutes that we've had here.
I agree with you.
We generally like to get the committee's assessment of each of those criteria. Because your vote to recommend or not recommend needs to be grounded in the criteria. So if you want to, by consensus, say the reason under those criteria that it's not going to pass that particular criterion, we can talk about that. But basically, this where things go from here is out to public comment and eventually to voting. And your recommendations need to be justified in the evaluation criteria. So what we have been doing as a general approach is having the committees vote on whether the measure meets the criteria, and then ultimately that should lead you to your decision about the recommendation. So if someone has another approach so that we can make sure that these recommendations are grounded in the criteria, we can certainly entertain that.
I think it would really help us if, as it's stated in some of the materials that we got prior to coming in here today, if the primary reviewer and the secondary reviewer could just tell us if they reached consensus on it, and if they can tell us what their ratings were. I mean, that's about all we have to go on, because we didn't review all these topics. So if they reach consensus, that's great. I'm more likely to agree with that. If they didn't, let's talk about the areas where they disagreed.
And I will say that it's more important in terms of understanding the decision is the reason, not necessarily the rating. So if the primary reviewers will go through the criteria and say, this is why I think it was not important.